Hello, hello, and welcome to Self-Care Sexy. My name is Chris, and I'll be your host. We are a weekly podcast that's here to generate and share self-care ideas with each other. Last week, I talked about the concept of self-care versus fun, how we make the decision, and some tips for making self-care a part of your daily routine. We went into some examples and had some fun exploring how it is we tell if we need to let loose and go have a good time, or stay in and take a bath before going to bed early. I really enjoyed that topic. It was actually a request from one of our listeners, Alex from Australia. So thank you, Alex. Now, if you have an idea you'd like to share or want to be on the show, reach out to me via email. It's Chris, K-R-I-S, at selfcareissexy.com. Want to give you guys a quick preview of what to expect from today's show. So today I'm going to be bringing you a long overdue interview with a great gal who is sharing some really great insights into the struggles of self-care, the negative self-talk, and kind of how like the all-or-nothing approach is just not working. And I've wanted this lady to be on my show since we started over a year ago, and we're going to get to that long-awaited interview in just a moment. But first, a couple of quick housekeeping notes. Number one, if you are in the Portland area and you'd like to attend some in-real-life self-care meetup, please check out our Facebook page for all the details. You can attend virtually and have the opportunity to chime in and check out. Just email me for that link. Our brunch is coming up at the end of the month on Sunday. We'll be at our favorite local hangout spot, the Vita Cafe on Alberta in North Portland. So hit me up for the details. We hope to see you there. Second, I just wanted to remind everyone that the time is running out on our free Passion Planner giveaway. We've only got three left. There's a black one, a tan one, and a teal one, the one that I have that's really awesome. And these things are amazing, you guys. They're these little journal planners, but they're going to really help you get self-care and get organized, super life hack. So if you need that in your life, is that something that sounds good to you? Check out episode number 25 for our Self-Care is Sexy passports. Download it from the website, fill it out, send it in, and you can get your hands on one of these amazing jams. And they are not cheap, you guys, so this is seriously a financial life hack right here. Lastly, I'd like to ask that you guys take the time to either write a review in iTunes or share this show via the social medias. You know, I really know in my heart that someone is out there who needs to hear this content, and they might be struggling with self-care, and this could be the show that really helps them nail it down. So take that time to write a review and let me know what you think. All right, guys, so get ready for a great conversation with Miss Gina Hooker. She is a transplant to San Diego, a project manager for a software company for the last 11 years, and shares with us that her life has a ton of moving parts. She gets into self-care on the micro and the macro level, and she shares ways that she's able to insert self-care into the small parts of her life. We also get to talking about why the all-or-nothing approach doesn't really work. So please enjoy our self-care conversation with Jean.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your incredibly busy schedule to join us on Self-Care Sexy. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, say hello. Well, hello, everybody. My name is Gina Hooker. I am a recent transplant to San Diego from Portland, Oregon. I spent the last 37 years in Portland, and just recently in June moved to San Diego, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later because it is part of my self-care regimen. And I am a project manager for a software company. I've been with the same company for about 11 years. I have a partner, her name is Pam, and a dog and a cat, and a lot of moving parts in my life. So I'm excited to talk about self-care, mostly because it's making me rethink about self-care.
Awesome, just like connecting to the topic, and that's kind of what
Absolutely.
This is about.
Yep.
So it does. It sounds like you do have a lot of moving parts. You're a professional, you're a fur mommy, you are a partner, and you just made a colossal leap to an entirely new place. That sounds like a lot. So in all of that, managing your hectic conference call schedules and the life tasks, how are you getting your self-care in? What are you doing right now in your life
to get the self-care you need?
That's a really interesting question, because as I was thinking about it, I started to realize how much self-care I haven't done. I used to be an avid practicer of self-care, and I find that when I get busy, I tend to wane on my self-care, and I don't know if that's common for most people. I feel like it's kind of strange, right? Because the busier you are, the more you probably need to take time out to do the things that are going to be beneficial and healthy for yourself, and I haven't been. So,
absolutely.
I mean, so for me, self-care is ever-evolving, and that might be true for other folks as well. But for the last several months, for me, it's evolved sort of into a macro and micro level of self-care. And what I mean by that is my move to San Diego is sort of the macro level. For many years, I had wanted to move away from my home state of Oregon and go adventure and find new people to learn about and adventure to different places. And I was always sort of held back by this very heavy fear, a fear of upsetting my family, a fear of upsetting my friends, a fear that perhaps I might not make it on the other side. And so when I was thinking about the fact that I haven't been doing self-care, I really had to put some stock in that decision. But I did uproot myself, and I did follow my dream, and I did move myself to California. And quite frankly, people keep asking me why, and there's a lot of reasons, and it might sound silly, but the weather, quite frankly.
Portland, that makes total sense.
Right. So, you know, I kept asking myself, I don't know, for probably 20 years at least of my life, why am I so sad in February? And I asked that every single year, and I started to think about, well, you know, it's definitely seasonal depression. It's definitely the fact that I'm not being true to myself and not following the things that I want to do in my life. So certainly on the macro level, facing that fear and moving to San Diego was something that was a big moment for me, and definitely in the self-care realm, if you will. On the micro level, it's really been about finding the places in my life, sort of the nuanced places in my life, that I should be inserting daily self-care, right? To pay attention to my body, to pay attention to when I'm feeling anxious and what that's telling me, and how I should sort of step back and think about, am I doing too much? Should I take a break? Should I drink some more water? You know, but ultimately what I've done in the past hasn't been sustainable for me. I'm kind of an all or nothing kind of gal, right? So big bang my self-care. Mm-hmm. I decide one day that I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to drink more water. I'm going to take vitamins. I'm going to count calories. I'm going to go to the gym 6 days a week. I'm going to, you know, so on and so forth. And then I realize that after, you know, a couple of weeks of this, I am exhausted. I am not doing it anymore. I just sort of throw it all out the window, and pretty soon I'm eating chocolate cake and drinking, you know, bottles of wine, and I'm not doing anything else besides sitting and, you know, watching TV or whatever. And so I've really been sort of thinking about, okay, right now, what's important for me to do? And is it being motivated by my negative self-talk? Is it being motivated by the fact that I feel guilty? What are my motivations for self-care? And then sort of letting what I realize out of those thoughts sort of guide me into the decisions I'm making.
I was going to say, you just touched on two really major points that I think often get overlooked, which is you have to really, you know, finding small places to put self-care in sounds really cheesy and simple. But what I just heard you say is when you try to do it all, it's not sustainable. You've pointed it out. You've got to find those really small places to insert that self-care. And then the other thing I just heard you say that I want to bring attention to that really sparked kind of thoughts for me is going back to that negative self-talk. And if you're comfortable, I kind of want to follow up and ask, so what are some of those small places in your life that you can insert self-care?
So currently, I know you know this, and some listeners probably know this, but I've got a horrible, horrible back. And I tend to not listen to my back. I tend to see it as something that's going to hinder me, and, you know, damn it, back, I'm not going to let you win. And I keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And so Something I did since I've been in California is I found an amazing chiropractor, and instead of going just the one time and feeling better that one time and then never going back, I've started to, you know, have a weekly appointment and actually do the work that he's asking me to do. And this is where the little places comes in. He asked me, take 10 minutes out of your day, just 10 minutes, and do 3 of your exercises. And before I would have thought, oh gosh, you know, whatever, I have too much to do, and I'll do it Thursday. Well, that's not doing it 10 minutes every day. That's doing it Thursday once a week.
Right.
So I've actually put an Outlook calendar reminder with all my meeting schedules that says, do your physical therapy. And it's those little things. It doesn't have to be astronomical, right? It doesn't, and I get caught up in that. It has to be this big thing, and all of a sudden I'm going to lose 50 pounds, and I'm going to, you know, run a marathon, and all of these things, and nothing gets done. So it's those little moments, you know, doing your physical therapy, taking a time to walk outside and drink a glass of water or walk around the block, which, by the way, having a dog in San Diego really helps with the walking around the block thing.
Oh, I bet.
it is great. He makes me walk twice a day, which is fantastic. So, you know, it's those little places that I've really started to focus on. You know, take 5 seconds in the morning and take a vitamin. Sort of make those healthy decisions. Make a decision not to eat dessert sometimes and not all the time, and the times that I do, don't feel guilty about it. You know, it's all about my motivations for why I am making the decisions that I'm making. And so I think that's really what's important to me right now.
It sounds simple, but it's really not.
Oh, it's hard.
It's hard. Totally hard. I mean, I hear you say, you know, I put it on my calendar, and I'm sure a lot of people have used that tactic before or put reminders in their phone. And that doesn't necessarily mean that when that reminder comes up, not everybody honors it, right? Like, you get the reminder, you get the count, and you're like, I'll do it like
that. And you click the X button on the upper right-hand side and go on about your day.
Right.
And I'm not going to say that I'm not guilty of that, right? It's a new practice for me, but I'm trying to make it something, you know, it's actually something I've never tried before. And so, you know, I'm trying to take little baby steps to help me remember to take care of myself, you know, throughout the day.
What would you say motivates you the most to do those, like, for example, this is just the example, but to do those little exercises when that reminder comes up versus hitting the little red X and moving on?
Well, honestly, it's because I'm not getting any younger, especially with the back situation. Again, you know this, my back issues are chronic, and I have to stop thinking that it's just going to go away, right? If I just don't pay attention to it and push through it, it's just going to go away. It's, you know, it's something that I actually have to pay attention to. So what motivates me is making myself better, making myself healthier so that, you know, it doesn't keep happening. So for instance, my chiropractor says you need to do these core exercises because the, you know, stronger your core is, the less likely you are to re-injure your back. And that's starting to sound more and more exciting, the idea of not having to go through these down times with my back, you know, periodically throughout the year. So it's just, I think, again, it's a matter of listening and being motivated by reality. And so, you know, other things for me, I can't say that negative self-talk doesn't motivate a lot of my self-care. I do have body image issues. I do have, lots of things that make me think horrible thoughts about myself. And then that's what motivates me to, you know, go to the gym 6 days a week and count my calories and everything that I've already mentioned. I'm trying to be cognizant of that, and I've been told over and over and over again, don't do it like that. You know, just try to live healthy and everything will be, you know, be the way it's supposed to be. And that all sounds well and good, but, you know, I don't have an on and off button sometimes, but I'm just trying to take incremental steps to hearing my self-talk, hearing the decision that comes out of that self-talk, and then maybe scaling back if it's not sustainable, or, you know, not throwing it out the window altogether, but at least making it something possible.
Well, I would say in my experience and the people that I've talked to, like, a lot of us are, like you, very, you know, type A personality. We are the get shit done girls, like that's what I like to call us. And there is this mentality of all or nothing. I see it a lot in our group of friends, and it makes us better, right? It motivates us. It pushes us to do better.
what I would want to, what I'm really curious and genuinely, I want to hear your answer because I respect you and I love you so much. I want to know, what does it feel like when you, if you let it down or you let it go or you recognize like, oh crap, I'm going all in and I'm pushing myself too hard. That moment that you decide to like let it go, what are some feelings that come up? Or how does it feel to you, or how do you recognize that that's happening?
So my answer is sort of twofold. So the first thing that happens is I recognize that it's happening, and I start to think, oh shit, I'm starting to fail. What's going to happen? I've done this before. I'm going to go back to the way things used to be, and I sort of start to spiral. So the second part to that answer is the consequence of that, which is I do label myself a failure. I become, you know, anxiety ridden, and I sort of just give up. And at that point, it's unfortunate, but I'll throw it all out the window. And like I said before, I will do everything the complete opposite. It's not like I scale back and I'm like, well, you know, 1 to 2 days a week in the gym should be fine. And, you know, maybe stop counting calories and just eat healthy and not think about what you're consuming. And I haven't quite figured out the magic trick to turn that part of my brain off yet. But it does feel extraordinarily overwhelming and makes me really, really sad. And there have been times where ultimately it's brought me down into a deep depression.
That's a tough thing to get out of if you don't know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I know a lot of the times why I'm there and how I got there. I just haven't figured out the exact answer to how to find that sort of perfect balance. There I go again, even using the word perfect, right? It's got to be some perfect balance. But yeah, I'm learning, right? It's always a process.
Yeah, it's a process. So I would ask, do you celebrate your successes? Do you celebrate when you have a win?
Sometimes. Not consistently. Interestingly, and you probably aren't going to be surprised by this answer, but as soon as I have a win, I make that the finish line like further away. Mm-hmm. So it's like I get a quick like, woo, I did it. And then it's like, well, now I have this other goal to maintain or to get to. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, right? I feel like it's okay to keep pushing that envelope. I think where I need to scale back is to actually have a little bit of a longer celebration. at the progress that I've actually made, and give myself a little breather and say, hey, you know, it's this is great, and you know, treat yourself to a piece of cake, a glass of wine, or whatever. So yeah, sometimes I do, but not, I don't think for long enough, and I don't think I really like internalize it.
Are you afraid that if you take the time to celebrate, or if you, like that you'll get lazy, or that you'll forget the other 10 things that you're trying to accomplish?
Nailed it. Exactly.
Yeah. I feel that way too. And I think that's pretty common, especially again with these, with our kind of folks, which are just those real hardworking, get it done. Great. I accomplished the thing. Now I'm on to the next and just continue.
I'm terrified of becoming complacent. Like I just don't, I'm so afraid that I'll just be like, okay, that's good enough and never get to the end. So yeah.
That's a tough thing to wrestle with, and I really appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing with me that because I think a lot of us feel that way. It's just not, I just don't think we give each other permission to talk about this kind of stuff and to really digest it and say, gosh, you know, how is this pushing the envelope and working hard thing good for us and bad for us at the same time, and how do we navigate through it without letting our guard down and becoming so complacent that we just let life pass us by, but we're not, you know, pedal to the metal so hard that we're running ourselves into the ground. It's a really difficult, really difficult concept. I wanted to just check in with you and see if you, I know you had a couple of friends that you knew there in San Diego when you moved, but right now, who's in your life that's really supporting your self-care? Do you have like a support system of people around you to kind of keep you accountable or check in with you and say like, hey, how is that self-care going? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you doing the things are you making what's important to you a priority?
I do. And I'm fortunate to, you know, move to a new place and have albeit a very small support group, but certainly a support group. Pam, my partner, is always checking in. You know, she'll ask me, I'll, you know, be complaining about something or talking about how I'm tired or talking about how my back hurts. And, you know, she'll remind me very gently, you know, are you doing your exercises? You know, have you taken a minute to breathe? You know, how about you just relax and I'll make dinner, those kinds of things. So she's certainly supportive. My friend Kristen, who has lived here for the last several years, we used to work with her in Portland. She's actually super motivating to me because she does a lot of the things that I want to do in my self-care practice that I used to do. So she just recently became certified as a yoga teacher. And so sort of through her, I'm getting, you know, re-motivated to practice yoga again. She also is Reiki attuned, and through her, I'm finding a Reiki buddy and someone who, you know, speaks that language and, you know, sort of, again, renews motivation and things that I love doing. So she's certainly a great resource. And then, of course, my friends Alex and Shirai. And Shirai is always my sounding board. So, you know, anytime I have one of those blubbery, I can't do this anymore moments, she's always there to sort of wipe the tears away and tell me, you know, you got this, girl. So sort of all around the gamut, I feel like I have a good group, even being new here.
Yeah, because I think you took, you know, like you had said earlier, a big fear had held you back, the fear of failure, the fear of not having that support group available to you. You left a big group. You left a very well-established group, and that must have been really scary.
It was terrifying. You know, I love my tribe in Oregon. In fact, I'm getting a little choked up talking about it, but it definitely was difficult to leave that. And then, you know, to not know, you know, what would happen on the other side. Would I be strong enough? Like, do I, you know, there's that question I had, what, you know, of, you know, was I strong because of myself in Portland, or was I strong because I had the best support group known to man? You know, and that was, you know, I think it's a little from column A and a little from column B, but, you know, I certainly had to learn that when I, you know, moved here and take that chance. So yeah, it was certainly difficult to leave the tribe, but it's been nice to still be here, and know that I still have a very small tribe, but same kind of energy.
I'm super proud of you, and I think it takes giant lily balls to make that kind of a leap. And, you know, another thing that I was kind of thinking about when we were talking was that, you know, I would agree with you, it's probably a little column A, a little column B, a little bit you and a little bit the people that surround you. The reason I specifically asked about the support system around you is because I hope this adventure or this experiment of leaving your hometown and going somewhere new is showing you that you take it with you, right?
Yeah.
Like Gina attracts amazing people into her life. And it's not something you can learn, right? It's just, it's something about you. It's how you communicate. It's your ability to be a part of a group. And I think that you create these incredible support networks by the energy and the effort that you put out, which brings me kind of my next sort of question, which is, I've known you for a while, so I can say this with some authority. I know you to be so very attentive and caring for your friends and for your people in your support network. But how are you at asking for support?
It depends. It depends on where I'm at, what kind of support I need, who's available. You know, it's not really my first go-to. My first go-to is sort of to push through it. But I've learned over the last couple of years how important it is to reach out, you know, and to ask for help. I think my new battle is learning how to reach out and then not feel horribly guilty about it later. Like I put someone out, you know, so I'm happy to ask. But then I feel instantly horrible and I, you know, I apologize. I'm so sorry that I just asked, but thank you, but I'm so sorry, you know. So I'm learning that people also like to give help and that it's okay. But it's certainly difficult.
And I think also just having been a part of that tribe and a part of that support network with you, I would say that we're very lucky because the people that we surround ourselves with and have in our lives, a lot of people you say, hey, how's it going? And they're like, you know, I'm just not doing well. And well, what can I do? What can we do to cheer you up? And people in our circle and in our support system, they all seem to just have that natural inclination to want to jump in and help and ask how.
Absolutely.
And that's absolutely super, super valuable for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to kind of look ahead and see what are you going to be doing going forward to get your self-care? So let's look at like this next week and then let's go further and go, you know, next month, which I'm going to say next month, you know, September, which is always like back to school, new beginnings, that type of thing. And then if you can think of the broader picture of like next year. So what's self-care going to look like next week, next month, next year?
Ooh. Okay, so I recently, like I said, you know, started doing smaller things. So I'm assuming that next week is going to be very much like this week, which includes taking a multivitamin in the morning, drinking more water than I do wine, and just generally trying to eat better. I did join a gym, so I'm hoping, you know, given my chiropractor's go-ahead, that I can start doing light work starting next week, and some of that light work might just mean sitting in the hot tub. So that simply sounds pretty amazing.
So that's good self-care right there.
Yeah, right. So looking ahead the next week, that's where I hope to be. In a month, I'm hoping to be pretty regularly in the gym, but part of that is going to be things like yoga and you know, doing hip hop dance classes because I love hip hop dance, and you know, not just sticking to, you know, I've got to lift 500 weights and run for, you know, an hour, but doing things that I enjoy while I exercise. Yeah. So I'm super stoked about that. So I'm hoping I'll have some of that practice stuff back. And also, you know, I would like to get reattuned in Reiki and start practicing Reiki again more consistently. I would like to have a day where I can read a book and do nothing else besides perhaps walk the dog and read a book. And so that's like what I think my month is going to look like. In a year, that's a long time away, but it's
harder when you go further out.
It is, right? I mean, it all seems like big dreams, but and I think that's okay. I think I'm hoping to have myself more established here socially within the next year, and so I'm hoping to, you know, have some volunteer things that I'm doing. I would love to have a network of friends that, you know, I'm doing things with, whether that be a reading group or a picnic in the park or those kinds of things. Socially, you know, I'm very introvert, extrovert, and so sometimes I need to hide and do my own thing to recharge, and sometimes I feel like I really need to be social. So I'm hoping that within the next year I can sort of get that social element back to sort of help that side of me.
I have no doubt you'll accomplish that. Because, like, there's one thing I know for sure, and that is you have a magnetism about you and you draw people into your life effortlessly, and I've seen it happen. So I am great faith in you that next year you'll have a lot of opportunities to reconnect in that social sense.
Thank you. I hope so.
I'm excited for you.
Certainly something that I'm working through because I don't remember making friends in Portland. Like, it just sort of happened, you know. that sounds silly, but you know, it's just like this, all of a sudden there was this amazing group of people, and I know that there was work involved, and I know that I had to meet everyone through, you know, various means, but moving to a whole different place, I feel like kind of like I'm in a middle of a big empty room with a whole bunch of people on the outside, sort of with their backs turned, and I'm not really sure like who to approach. So, and that's not good because I feel like people's backs are turned to me. I just feel like I don't know them, so they're like blank faces. But I'm sure that will come, and I'm sure everything will work itself out. But so yeah, I think ultimately that's kind of my week, month, year plan. I don't think it's anything that's too large and unattainable. I'm just hoping to keep the balance throughout.
That balance, man, that is a tricky act, I'll tell you what.
It is.
So So, Gina, if anyone out there listening is really connecting to what you're saying and they, for whatever reason, would like to connect with you or hear more about your story, is there a way that our listeners can connect with you appropriately, or is there anything coming up that you'd like to share with people and let them know that you're doing or interested in, or something maybe that you are pursuing as a passion project?
Yeah, I'll do both. So, I'm definitely open to chatting on Facebook. So it's Facebook/, is it Gina Hooker? I don't know. Look up Gina Hooker and you'll find me. I don't know that there's many out there. And as far as passion projects, there's two things that I'm super excited about. And again, this feels like self-care because it's me pursuing interests outside of my job, that I really, really love. And, so part of that is my organization just implemented the diversity and inclusion program. And, that is my big, big dream, is to work in that field. And, so as part of that, I've joined the sort of the action committee for rolling that out across the globe to all of our different sites. And, I've been asked to be the LGBT networking lead for North America. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I'm super excited because I'll get to work with people, you know, all over the sites in North America to represent, my company at, Pride, and, you know, to learn about what folks are feeling at their organization and how we can better serve LGBT folks. And, so I'm super, super stoked to do that. So not only, you know, is my job like becoming something that I absolutely love, but I also get to do this thing on the side of my job that, you know, with my company that I love even more. So that's super cool.
That's way awesome,
girl.
Congrats.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? And the second thing is also sort of job related. This year they're doing another conference called CTAR that's in San Diego, and they have it at different locations every year. So this year it's like, I don't know, 6 minutes from my condo. And yeah, right? Like the stars aligned.
Perfect.
Yeah, and my company is actually sending me to it because we are globalizing, and everyone is, you know, we're having meetings with people in South Africa and people in, you know, Ireland and people all over the globe. And I sort of identified that one of the inefficiencies is a lack of a lack of communication ability, just because we all, you know, we all speak English, but, you know, things are called differently, and, you know, we talk really fast, or at least I do, and those kinds of things. So I'm actually going to this conference, and I'm going to create a training once I'm done to present to an organization globally to hopefully help with that sort of intercultural communication piece. So again, something
wow.
else that I'm really, really excited to bring to my job that's part of my heart. So those are two big things I'm excited about.
That's incredible. And lady, I know you well enough to know anything you touch is going to be a success. And I am so excited to see what kind of training manual rolls out of that.
I'm hoping it won't be boring. I'll try to make it fun.
Oh, no. I have a feeling you'll put some fun in there for sure. Well, cool. Gina, thank you so much for your time this evening and taking time out of your busy work week to sit down with me and chat about self-care. I know it's a big old topic for lots of stuff, and you've been really vulnerable tonight. I really appreciate that. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Chris. Thank you so much for having me.
There you go, guys. Big shout out to Gina Hooker. Thank you so much for being on the show. We loved having her. You can be sure we'll be checking back in with her self-care progress in the future. Sounds like Gina's got a lot of exciting diversity projects coming up, and we wish her all the best in her SoCal adventures. All right, you guys, thanks so much for listening this week and taking some time to get the self-care in you need. If you have a story you'd like to share and you want to be on the show, please email me. It's Chris, K-R-I-S, at selfcareissexy.com. All right, we got some really great content coming your way, so stay tuned. And remember that self-care is sexy. We're giving you permission to put yourself first.